This is Aaron Barnett. In just a few seconds, you're going to be listening to Coastal Cafe, which is one of the quality local programs you've come to rely on from KPTZ. Co-host Marianne Wagner and I would like you to please take a minute to go to kptz.org right now and become a sustaining member, or make a one-time contribution to ensure that you can continue to enjoy programs like Coastal Cafe for years to come. Thank you for your support, and thank you for listening to KPTZ. Welcome to Coastal Cafe. I'm Aaron Barnett, your host today. Coastal Cafe is a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the University of Washington's College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. And today we have a very special show. We are on site at Belfair State Park at the south end of Hood Canal. And we are hanging out with some middle school students and their volunteer mentors and teachers. And we're going to be talking about the Hood Canal Shellfish Initiative implementation, a project of advancing a custom fit strategy for restoration of Olympia oysters in Hood Canal. Belfair State Park in Washington State, as well as the Klingel Wildlife Refuge, are located at the southern end of Hood Canal on the north side of what one called the hook-shaped part of the canal. Today's tide is way out, and there are multiple groups of 6th to 8th grade students and teachers from Catalyst Charter Middle School in Bramerton, Washington. They are equipped with notebooks, thermometers, and other data collection equipment to help construct tools for finding suitable habitat for the native Olympia oyster, which is making a comeback in Washington State waters. Supported by the Puget Sound Restoration Fund and the Great Peninsula Conservancy, these scholars are learning firsthand what marine biologists and those in the shellfish aquaculture industry do in a place that was for many centuries the home of Olympia oysters and an important food source for indigenous peoples. Our first interviewee is Peter Alexander of the Great Peninsula Conservancy. Peter is also an AmeriCorps Vista member. Welcome to Coastal Cafe, Peter.
Thank you.
So could you give some background on the project and the inclusion of middle school students, but you know, go back as far as you can and talk about the history of this particular site. Mm-hmm. And its relationship to the Olympia oyster, and where we are today and what you're doing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this site here on the Hood Canal is important because the Puget Sound Restoration Fund is using it as an Olympia oyster restoration site. They're gathering a lot of data out here, they're collecting measurements, and they're trying to evaluate its conditions for how well you could restore Olympia oysters. And so Great Peninsula Conservancy has partnered with Puget Sound Restoration Fund to put on one of our Land Labs programs. And Land Labs is a program that is a way for Great Peninsula Conservancy to connect students in Bremerton and around the region to some of the natural sites that we protect and conserve. And so we thought that this would be a great opportunity to partner with Puget Sound Restoration Fund and get the kids doing real science, real hands-on data collection about this exciting restoration project.
What kind of data are you collecting?
So the students are collecting 7 different data points while they're out on the shoreline. They're looking at the substrate, because Olympia oysters like to attach to a rocky kind of substrate. They are looking at the levels of predators and competitors in the area. They're taking a measurement of the height of the tide and where the shore is during different tide areas. And they're also looking at the temperature of the air, the temperature of the water, and the salinity of the seawater, because all those different factors affect whether or not Olympia oysters can be planted and can be successful in a given habitat.
I understand that the Olympia oyster might even have some built-in resilience to temperature change, you know, specifically global warming and water temperature increases.
That's right. Olympia oysters are better adapted to higher temperatures than their cousins, the Pacific oysters, which we have a lot of here. So if temperatures continue to rise, then we can expect Olympia oysters to maybe be more resilient and continue their functions of cleaning the water with filter feeding the way oysters do.
How long is this project going to last?
So the Land Lab program has, we've been preparing a lot in the last couple of months, and it's gone up to today so far, and this is the culmination of this particular Land Lab session. Hopefully we'll be replicating it and bringing out more classrooms in the future next year. And Land Labs is going to be continuing to grow and scale up and connecting more and more students with natural areas.
So the Great Peninsula Conservancies, could you tell us a little bit about your organization?
So the mission of the Great Peninsula Conservancy is to protect the natural spaces, the open spaces, and the rural heritage of our working region here in Kitsap, Mason, and Pierce counties. And we're a land trust, so we purchase land and we purchase easements on land to prevent development and keep things looking beautiful and keep them ecologically healthy. And just a little ways down from here at Belfair, we've got a site called the Kling O'Brien Beard Wildlife Refuge, which is a beautiful salt marsh that is completely protected right now. And that's where we're taking the students next after lunch.
Well, you actually just answered the question that I was going to ask. What other projects do you have that are related or semi-related to what you're doing now? So thank you. Is there anything you'd like to add, Peter?
Just that we are really excited to be working with Catalyst Public Schools on this Land Lab. And we're really happy to see the students out here. I think they've learned a lot about the oysters and their important role in the ecosystem. And today they've all become real scientists and they're participating in a real ongoing scientific project. And it's so exciting to give them that kind of opportunity.
Well, thank you very much, Peter. And we wish you the best of luck with your career after this VISTA Member of Volunteer Activity ends. Thank you. Gray McKenna is the Habitat Program Coordinator for the Puget Sound Restoration Fund, which is a major partner, the Hood Canal Shellfish Initiative implementation that we've been talking with Peter about. Hello, Gray.
Hi.
So could you describe the relationship between this project as a partner, some history of the Puget Sound Restoration Fund, if you will, and its relevance to what's going on here at Belfair State Park today?
Yeah. So Puget Sound Restoration Fund has been doing Olympia oyster restoration work in this region for the past 30 years. And our role today is to support Greater Peninsula Conservancy's curriculum plan, lesson development for this field trip.
And so then one of the end goals is to create, as you say in here, prescriptions that can be applied to any coastal area or tidal area if somebody wants to put in Olympia oysters. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And in particular, developing a restoration plan for Hood Canal and figuring out which sites within Hood Canal are most appropriate for restoration actions and which restoration actions we should take in this region.
Okay. Who are some of the other partners that aren't here today that you would like to mention?
Well, we've historically worked with the Skokomish Indian Tribe on restoration work in Anna's Bay. That was a big outplant we did in 2020.
So in the plan, you talk about creating detailed restoration prescriptions. What specifically would be included in the plan for the Hood Canal restoration plan? I mean, what specific things are you looking for?
Right. So we've been doing a lot of habitat assessment around Hood Canal, and we're trying to figure out which type of restoration action to take. And some of those actions might be what we call a substrate enhancement. So in some areas, there are Olympia oysters present, but they are substrate limited. There's no hard surface for them to settle on. And so what you need to do is add a hard substrate, and we usually use Pacific oyster shells to do that. And so we'll add that hard substrate to the water body, and then the Olympia oysters can recolonize that hard substrate and reform an oyster reef. And the other action that we might take is doing an outplanting from oysters that we could grow in our conservation hatchery.
Have you encountered any barriers to putting this plan together, and if so, what are they?
You know, Hood Canal is a unique environment in comparison to the rest of Puget Sound. It's a bit warmer, the shorelines are different composition, a lot of rockier, steeper beaches in some areas. So it may not make sense in all areas to do this type of shell spreading, the substrate enhancement. And in some areas, there might need to be population enhancements, or there might not. And we're just sort of in that phase right now of gathering all the data that we collected this summer and taking a good look at it to really try and answer that question, what are the limitations and how could we get around them? Could we? Yeah.
And so how has this group of middle school students been doing with that? Can you give some perspective on working with them?
Yeah, it's so fun to work with them. They have already had an hour-long classroom lesson, so they came in with some background knowledge and were really able to draw that out in the field and walk around the beach and discuss all of these concepts. Well, who are the predators and who are the competitors? And is this substrate firm enough? Do you think Pacific oyster shell would be able to stay on this beach and be colonized by the Olympia oysters or not? And they're doing great. It's, you know, the beach is amazing, so it's really fun to walk around, and mud is fun. Yeah, I think they're having a good time.
Well, kids like mud. At least that's my recollection.
Yeah.
Hey, I think, is there anything you'd like to add while you're here? Anything you'd like to share with our audience?
What's particularly exciting about this project and being able to partner with Greater Peninsula Conservancy is that we're able to get the word out about the work we're doing and the importance of Olympia oysters as a marine resource for communities all around Puget Sound. And so we love that chance to sort of dovetail our restoration work with the public awareness and engagement.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us, Gray, and we look forward to talking to you again in the future. If you're just joining us, this is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, and I'm Aaron Barnett, today's host of Coastal Cafe, and we're speaking with folks from the Hood Canal Shellfish Initiative Implementation Program, and specifically a teacher and some scholars from the Catalyst Bremerton Middle School. I'm talking with Stephanie Layson, Jackson, and Mandy, who are in the sixth grade.
All right, let's carefully follow Ashton to the water. Okay. You guys, we are acting smart. James, yep. We are stepping smart, okay?
Let's go. And
Ashton, don't put
there's
it in
a
the
middle
right
here.
Okay.
In the
middle.
You can throw it up your ankles.
You're
always
going. You guys want to guess what you think?
Okay. And I'm going to ask for your attention in three. Eyes on me in two.
So, Stephanie, tell us a little bit how Catalyst got involved with this project and why you think it's important.
Absolutely. So we're here with the Greater Peninsula Conservancy, in addition with the other folks from the Hood Canal, because we are here trying to figure out if we can bring back some Olympia oysters. And we brought in this program to our sixth graders because we really truly believe in a hands-on science experience, and this is the perfect way to do that. We have the Great Peninsula Conservancy is doing some work with us in the classroom, and then we've brought scholars out to the field, and then we'll have another lesson back in the classroom. We did the same three lesson sequence last year during COVID, because it was outside and we could do some things virtually, we were able to still meet, which was one of the best things we did last school year to bring everyone together in a time when we were so far apart from one another. So we're continuing that partnership and really loving it. We had a great day so far.
What are some of the key lessons you want to get across to your scholars?
We want to get across, you know, just being a great citizen. That's one of our pillars. We want to make sure in our mission that we also are preparing scholars for their future. And so whether that might be introducing them to being a marine biologist or being a scientist out here, this is just a way for scholars to get their feet wet. And we actually got wet feet today, to get their feet wet in science and to actually enjoy the experience. So we're trying to show scholars what their potential could be when they grow up and finish school and choose whatever career path is going to be the best for them.
So I'll start with you, Mandy. What have you learned on this project so far?
So I've learned a lot about the oysters and how we can preserve their life and how they help filter out the water and help the environment a lot and all sorts of that kind of stuff, and how like the oysters population have dropped ever since the 1900s, and we're trying to just preserve the oysters and save them.
So. Is there a anybody can answer this. Is there any particular reason why you chose to work on the Olympia oyster?
Jackson.
Yeah. So, sorry if I sound a little annoyed. It's because, like, I accidentally stepped into, like, a foot deep water and now my shoes are all wet. But,
oh, no.
So, the reason we chose Olympia oysters is because you might see a lot of oysters, but those are usually Pacific or Japanese oysters, not Pacific oysters, not Olympia oysters, because Olympia oysters are the most endangered, well, I'm pretty sure the most endangered species of oyster in the Pacific Sound, and so, we're trying to get up their numbers, and so what we're doing in the field today is seeing saltiness of the water, temperature of air and water, and seeing all the predators and see if there's a lot of them or a little bit of them. So I'd say here at the beach, Belfair, the most dangerous predators are probably only humans, because there are some drill snails, but we only found like two shells and no living ones. So we're pretty sure the biggest predators are humans here.
Are there any other predators besides the drill snails?
There are a select a few birds, like seagulls, and there are some crabs as well. But crabs only eat the oysters with some assistance, like if someone left the shell open, which still had meat in it.
So how exactly, how does a bird eat a oyster? I'm curious about that. How do they get in there and break them open?
So I actually learned this on a documentary. What happens is they pick up the shell and they find a huge rock, and they're like 50 feet above the rock, and they drop the oyster shell, and when it smashes onto the rock, it either demolishes the shell or opens it, and even if it's open a little bit, that's enough for them to get their beaks in and like force it open more so that they can eat it. And the drill snails, how they do it is they produce enzymes from their little suction cup, and that weakens the shell. Then they can actually, they use a drill sort of mouth, hence the name drill snails, to drill into the shell, and then the enzymes also tenderize the meat, and then essentially, like spiders, they just slurp it up as a soup.
Do you guys eat oysters?
No. No. No.
No. No. I
me either.
Personally don't like other than fish.
Well, I'm with you. I don't eat oysters either. You're too spongy and
yep,
weird.
Not my favorite. No, not a favorite.
So Stephanie, why? How many other students do you have? How many students do you have total in this land lab session? And when do you plan on doing it again?
That's a great question. So we have 60 scholars in sixth grade, and we also have a fifth grade class and a seventh grade class. There's about 30 in each of those. They're also participating with land labs a little bit later. One event in October and one in November. And then we're hoping to continue another partnership in the spring, just like we did last year for all fifth, sixth, and seventh graders as well.
Is there anything you want to add or give your personal perspective on the value of this project?
Oh, sure. You know, being out in the field is something way different than the classroom. After spending a year of half on Zoom and half in the classroom, being out together in a safe way with masks on is exactly what our scholars need. To be out in the sunshine and seeing the things that we've been talking about and studying, couldn't plan a more perfect day and a better way for each of us to connect with one another. And so we're really grateful to Land Labs and all of the folks we're working with for bringing this opportunity to us.
And Jackson, it looks like you have something to say.
Yeah, I just want to say that if you remember Mandy, who said before, oysters help clear the water. And how that's really helpful is because if the water's clear, marine biologists can study more of the more important, like maybe if there's like oysters in the Hood Canal, per se, maybe you could find like some turtles or some other more complex marine biology life. I don't know, because I haven't studied the Hood Canal. But if you can't really do that unless you got clear waters, and oysters help with that. And so if you look down on the beach, it's actually pretty clear. It only gets really mucky when you like kick through the mud at the bottom.
Mandy, would you like to add to anything Jackson just said?
Well, I have one thing. The scientific term for, well, kind of scientific, for the oysters cleaning out the water is called filtering.
Now, my next question is about whether or not you guys think you might want to be marine biologists or oyster farmers at some time in your life.
Okay, so 7-year-old me would definitely say yes, because I was obsessed with marine life. But I think now I'm taking a turn on more studying with equines instead. So
equines are horses, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Oh, so horses. Oh, and how about you, Jackson?
Probably not. I'm not that good at physical stuff. I actually have a pretty mediocre physical body. I have really good running legs, but so I'm doing track this year, but I think I'm gonna be either a video game designer or a tester and maybe a YouTuber. I honestly don't have that high goals in life, but I do wanna make it the best I can.
Well, I'm encouraged that you both have some goals anyway, and I hope you do great, whatever it is you do. Okay, so, and Stephanie, it looks like the school that you're involved with is doing some really interesting things. Can you tell us a little bit more about Catalyst Middle School in Bremerton?
Absolutely. So Catalyst is the very first public charter school in Kitsap County. We opened last school year with kindergarten, first grade, fifth grade, and sixth grade. This year we've expanded to K through 3, and we also have 5 through 7. Next school year we'll be fully grown. We'll have K through 8, and we're located in the Minette neighborhood of Bremerton. Our big core values are BRAVE, which stands for belonging, resilience, achievement, vulnerability, and enthusiasm. And we were looking for scholars on our trip today to show all of those, and we definitely saw representations of all of those core values. We root everything we do in being brave. We say brave plus lead equals make change, because we want our scholars to be change makers for their life, for their community, and that's what we're working towards every single day at Catalyst.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Stephanie. It's been a pleasure talking to you. So we moved up to the very head of Hood Canal, a couple miles from Belfair State Park, and we're at the Klingel Wetland Refuge, which is connected to the Union River estuary. And we're here again with Peter Alexander. And Peter, could you tell us some history of the refuge and exactly what the Land Labs project is doing here as well, and what the Conservancy is doing, and just a quick overview of what's happening here.
Mm-hmm. So this is the Klingel Brian Beard Wildlife Refuge. And when Great Peninsula Conservancy purchased this property, it was a pasture land. So it was cows grazing on grass, and it was a very degraded habitat. And there was a dike that had been built to keep the water out. And so we put in a lot of effort to restore it since then. We've removed the dike. And now you can see that it's this beautiful salt marsh ecosystem. It's got these channels running through it, and it's really starting to become restored. And what we've done today with Land Labs is we've brought out a classroom of middle schoolers from Catalyst Middle School, and we are teaching them about shoreline ecosystems, and we're getting them connected with this natural space. And this is just an incredible place. It's totally unique here. And yeah, it's great to connect the kids to this kind of place.
Have you seen any birds or other animals repopulate the area since the restoration began?
Absolutely, yeah. Now that it's been restored, it's a great haven for birds. You see osprey catching fish out here, and eagles from time to time, and you know, other sorts of birds. You see kingfishers. So it's a great habitat for birds, a great place to come out and go birding, if you happen to be a birder.
So what is the scholars from Catalyst Middle School going to be doing here today?
So they're going to be continuing on the project that they were doing down at Belfair State Park, which is data collection to examine the habitat for Olympia oyster restoration. Because we had this question, since the Puget Sound Restoration Fund is restoring Olympia oysters down at Belfair State Park, we were wondering if Kling O'Brien Beard might also be a suitable candidate for that. And so the students are going to be collecting data, they're going to be learning more about the habitat here. By the end of the day, they're going to give us their recommendation for whether or not we can restore Olympia oysters to this shoreline habitat.
Now, so as we wrap up, is there anything you'd like to add, or would you like to share some of your own personal perspective on this particular project and how you like working with the kids?
You know, it's so exciting to work with kids and give them the opportunity to connect with nature and to really spend some time being scientists. Because, you know, for a lot of kids, it's just about having that one experience where someone gives you permission to be a scientist, to go out and learn about the world and discover. And that can just open up a whole world of possibilities of careers in conservation and other STEM careers. And so it's really exciting to give these kids that opportunity and to bring them out to this beautiful place.
So when you say STEM careers, what does STEM stand for?
That's science, technology, engineering, and math. And the ecology falls under science. And it looks like we've got the group coming in here. But yeah, having those science careers, it's really important. And it's really important to show kids models of people doing that, like Gray and Tilly can. And we've also had the park ranger at Belfair come out and see them. So there's these models of careers in STEM that we're connecting students with as we're connecting them with the natural environment.
Great. Well, thanks, Peter. It's been nice talking to you, and we wish you the best of luck in this project.
Thanks for coming out.
So Stephanie Lason, who was with us at Belfair State Park, is with us at the Klingel Wetlands Refuge. And Stephanie, what do you find different and exciting about this particular site in comparison to Belfair State Park?
Absolutely. So this land is so much more untouched than where we were previously. What I'm looking at right now is you can see some wild grasses. You can see some really beautiful land that is just untouched by humans. It's much quieter. There's less people here. And so I think we're going to see some different wildlife. It's birds. I heard some cool birds when we were walking. I wonder what the oysters will be like here, because it's a very different scenario. The water level is much, much lower.
So Stephanie, is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
I know that, you know, we're just a minute or two, a couple minutes away from where we were previously, and the landscape is so totally different. Scholars were already on the bus, ready to be so excited to get out and see this space. We're in lots of tall grass, which is also pretty different from where we were over in Belfair State Park.
Great. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you all for joining us. This is Aaron Barnett, and you've been listening to Coastal Cafe, a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the University of Washington College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. Washington Sea Grant helps people in marine life thrive by providing research, technical expertise, and education to support the conservation of our ocean and coastlines. I'd like to thank our program director, Larry Stein, and production engineer, Jared Dufresne. And as always, a special shout out to the band Ku Ich for sharing their music with us at the opening and closing of this program. Thank you for listening, and have a good day.